I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done for the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on, and she has said she has changed. Yes, she has.
No, she has not. John, she has not said that.
God, we have like how many more months of this until it's November? I mean, the woman has been... I mean, she's been running for however many days now and still nothing. And they're complaining about the debate, too, which we're going to talk about here coming up. Welcome to the program. My earbud totally broke apart as we went live. So we're dealing with the camera and I'm trying to deal with that at the same time we're trying to do the show. So just letting you know the real world technical difficulties that sometimes we experience. But anyway, the welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. The situation with the debate, and we're going to touch on this, and we're also going to get into the latest polling and all that other stuff. And the situation with the debate is, and I've been watching this all morning because they're supposed to have this debate with ABC. When is that debate with ABC? Because they're supposed to have it relatively quickly.
Yeah, I thought it was the 10th, maybe September.
Something like that. It's like the 10th, and it's it's coming up relatively quickly, and I don't know. Nobody knows. But the campaign is mad because they're now trying to change the rules of this debate. And then they're trying to say that Trump is scared simultaneously. And that's why he's not, that's why he won't commit, because they wanted him to stay with the debate when they subbed out the candidate. They wanted him to stay committed. He stayed committed. He agreed to all of the rules that they had. And then now they're demanding that he agree to this mute button and all of this other stuff. And I don't know we're going to see. I mean, I just, nothing like not being prepared.
Cut 28, Trump talked about this morning.
Yeah, listen to this.
The truth is they're trying to get out of it because she doesn't want to debate. She's not a good debater. She's not a smart person. She doesn't want to debate. But when I looked at the hostility during the weekend, you watch it. This week with George Slapodopoulos, and the Vietnamese didn't get that one. You got it.
Yes, sir.
If you didn't get it, I couldn't push it. But no, we want to have fairness. We have to bring fairness back to the country. And we have to have a president. We are the closest to World War III, I believe, that we've ever been right now, right this second. And we have a man that just took a vacation in California. He was on the beach. And he came back today. Where's he going? Delaware. Why? Another vacation. He's going for another week. That's not the Vietnamese. They're hardworking people, aren't they?
So, and it is true. Biden's, we'll talk about all of that. But he committed to these debates. He committed to them. And then now they're saying, and it's all about this mute button. I don't really care, what it is about the mute button. I think that she's wanting to have examples of him interrupting her. So she can be like, oh, let me have my. It's the same thing that she did to Biden. Remember the whole thing during this was the 2020 primary debate. And remember when she sold merch for a little bit. This is before she dropped out, but she was selling merchandise for a little bit. Say, let me finish. I'm speaking. Let me finish. And she wants that whole thing. So I think it's really lame for Democrats to now act as though somehow it's Trump that's scared of this debate, when he is just simply saying, we've agreed to these rules. Your party established the rules, because they did. They established them. These are the rules. You established these rules. Now you're wanting to change them because you subbed out a candidate and because your new, pinch hitter wants to have a moment where she can look like she's talking over me or something to that effect. That's all that is. And I just don't know how they can have that position knowing that she's not speaking to anybody in the press. She hasn't done any sit-down interviews. And I was listening to one of her campaign surrogates to that effect, by the way. And they were, and it was a good spin, but it was still spin. They were saying that, well, you know, she's too busy to talk to members of the press. And she's, you know, she's barnstorming and talking to voters. And that's what she's fully concentrated on is specifically doing that and talking to voters. And she's focused on specifically reaching out and answering to them on that. I think it's kind of a lame deflection. But audio soundbite 30, Trump kind of touches on this. Listen. This is audio soundbite 30.
They also want to change the rules. You know, the deal was we keep the same rules. Now all of a sudden they want to make a change in the rules because she can't answer questions. Why doesn't she do a couple of question answer? Why doesn't she do something like I'm doing right now? She can't talk. We can't have another dummy as a president, okay? We cannot have a dummy. And the people from Vietnam agree with that.
Well, I mean, she's not too impressed because she, I mean, how are you going to sit here and defend your record on any of this? I mean, you're not going to be able to. You can't defend your record. I mean, it is, you know, it is what it is. I mean, for instance, today's the third observance, 3 years since 13 service members have been lost in the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. Do you think that Harris has said anything? Has Biden said anything? They released a statement. It was a basic, bland statement, a staff-written statement where they said, oh, today and every day, we are mourning and honoring, you know, these 13, you know, et cetera, these 13 people. I want to take you back 3 years ago to when this happened. And she was asked a question about it moments, this was hours after. Audio soundbite 26. I want you to listen to this.
What's your response to reports of Americans?
Hold on. Slow down, everybody. I want to talk about two things. First, Afghanistan.
She's laughing like, ah, okay, everybody. Now, audio soundbite 25, they're going to try to distance her from this now. But I want you to remember, she had said she was the last person in the room. This is last person in the room, Harris. Audio soundbite 25. Listen to this. This is what she had said about that decision.
He just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do. And I'm going to add to that. This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage.
This is a president. Why is she? It's like a Beavis and Butthead skit. Like, why is she answering these like things in a question? She was the last person in the room. She bragged about it. And then she comes out 3 years later with a statement. Meanwhile, Trump was laying a wreath today at Arlington. And it was on the phone with one of the parents of one of those fallen 13. I get that it's an embarrassing thing for them because they made this disastrous decision that cost 13 service members their lives. But it's their responsibility. When you're a leader, you have to make tough decisions. And for them to not notice, to not say anything about these 13 people, you have Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole Gee, you had Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover, Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Noss. You had Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez. You also had Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nicoy. You also had Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Pichardo, Marine Corps Corporal Humberto Sanchez, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz. You had Navy Hospital Corpsman Maxton Soviak and Marine Corps Corporal Dagan Page. These are the 13 people who had their lives taken. A lot of people remember, too, I think it was Nicole Gee, because she was one of the Marines pictured at the gate holding the baby. Remember that when there was a family that was trying to get their kids to safety, and this father literally threw his child, like his infant. I mean, this kid was maybe 18 months old. Trying to get this baby in the hands of one of our service members. And it was Nicole Gee who was holding the baby, pictured holding the baby. And then days later, she was killed in this blast. And then all they have is the statement. All they have is the statement. That's it. Now, in the meantime, Biden is in, well, where the hell is Biden? That's the $1 million question, is it not? He is on vacation. Kamala Harris has nothing on her schedule today. Biden is on vacation. He was in, wasn't he in Santa Barbara? He was in Santa Barbara. And then now he's going to his beach house in Delaware. Now, here's something that I thought was very interesting. And I'm going to have a separate piece out about this. This is one of the first articles that I read this morning. And it was from, actually, it was Daily Mail. And it was from one of their senior White House correspondents. And they said they were getting behind the scenes of all the stuff with the DNC. They said that when he left California last week, he disembarked in California. And this was after he had spoken at the convention. And he was going to the Santa Barbara ranch where he and his family were apparently staying for a week. They said that Secret Service were moving to shield him from the cameras and they were giving him a helpful boost in the car, right? Now, they said on the tarmac, you know, the first lady watched, they said that Biden was, quote, visibly shaking. Quote, as Joe Biden disembarked Air Force One in the early hours of Tuesday morning in California last week, he was visibly shaking. It was approaching 5:30 a.m. East Coast time and he had been awake almost 24 hours. Remember when he spoke at the DNC, they had to cut a planned video tribute to him. And he went on, what was it? I don't think he rapped until like 12:30. They cut this planned video tribute to him and a few other things. And that's how late he was speaking. He was speaking so late. And so by the time they got into California, it was about a 4-hour flight from Chicago. By the time, and they left right after Biden spoke. They were on the plane. They left immediately. It was a 4-hour flight. And then by the time they got there to Santa Barbara and they disembarked, they said that he was visibly shaking with exhaustion as he left Air Force One. They said that he struggled to get down the steps, that he could not even lift his feet to get into the SUV. And that's when Secret Service shielded him. And one agent reports this White House correspondent for Daily Mail helped, quote, give him a boost into the car. What do you know about, what have you noticed about everything I've just told you? What have you noticed? Maybe actually, what have you not noticed from everything I just said? All these reporters there, and he apparently could not hardly move. And no one got any footage of it. All of these reporters, because he had the full traveling press with him on that flight. All of these reporters, and not a single one got footage. The reason I'm asking this is because that's not reporting, that's protecting. They're protecting him. They're not reporting for you. So he's left California and he's now in Delaware. Doing what? Another vacation. Meanwhile, what did we see happen in the Middle East over the weekend? Do you hear the reports? I've got a story about all of the illegal immigrants coming in from Venezuela that are working for Uber Eats and DoorDash buying accounts. Wait until you hear this story. Oh, I got a lot. And where's the president of the United States? We don't know. But at least we can pretend, we can stop pretending rather, that we have a president that makes decisions about the country. Our partners over at Hillsdale. This is one of the very reasons why Hillsdale was founded. They're all about defending liberty on the battlefield of education. And that's what they do with all of their resources. You know, they were founded in 1844, a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. They're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And they were founded to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. They have all kinds of educational podcasts, lectures, deep dives on different issues available at danafora.hillsdale.com. You can pick your new favorite educational podcast on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network and browse what they have. They have stuff even from their president, Larry Arn. They've got deep dives from their visiting lecturers, from authors. And, you know, you can also take advantage of their free speech digest and Primus and so much more. All available at danafora.hillsdale.com, free for you. So go and choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at danafora.hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So we're going to talk about this, too, because the Telegram founder was arrested in France He's Russian-born billionaire, founder and owner of Telegram. He was arrested at Le Bourget Airport outside of Paris after he landed on a private jet late on Saturday. They arrested him because free speech, because he's not going to cooperate with the government to shut down speech that different countries dislike. So they were trying to get him on they're trying to get him on for saying that, oh, wow, people use your service to scam people. So we're going to hold you responsible. We're going to deep dive into this, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff to consider with this particular arrest. Also, Elon Musk's ex is leaving San Francisco because San Francisco is literally the anus of America. And why would anyone stay there? Kane's dying, but it's true, and you know it. They say good riddance. They're tired of tripping over needles and feces. Disney is going to close Disney Now. What? What? FX, Nat Geo, blah, blah, blah. They're closing all of these. I don't care. It's Disney. I don't do anything.
Nat Geo?
I don't care. If it's owned by Disney, I'll go without Nat Geo. I'll go without what's-his-face, David Attenborough, and his little Winnie the Pooh sounding voice narrating stuff about penguins and seals and all this. I don't care. They're closing down a number of their on-demand apps and mobile services and connected TVs. Nobody cares. I don't watch the Nat Geo. Do you watch the Nat Geo, Kane? Sounds like you're going to be real upset.
Back in the day.
I just like that. And the baby penguin is going to be eaten by a hop seal. And it's like David Attenborough, and you're like feeling real. And then he starts getting waxing nostalgic about stupid climate change. And then I don't care. I eat all of them. I don't care. Seal, go. Let's see here. Today in mental menu, your food choices may be causing anxiety and depression. Yeah. I'm not even going to entertain that by reading it further. Now, here's what I was talking about earlier, and we're also going to dive into this more. Do you know that, and Texas is apparently like a hotbed for this, DoorDash and Uber Eats, people who are coming in illegally, particularly from Venezuela, there's a whole network where they can buy and sell and rent Uber Eats and DoorDash accounts so that they can make money while they're here illegally. Wait until I expand upon this. We've got that. We've got the campaign. We've got blah. Come pull up a chair and let's talk about people. Once you have Black Rifle Coffee, you just can't drink anything else. Everything else is garbage. And they have the best tasting coffee. And in this era of Kamalanomics, it's so affordable, especially when you compare it to everything else. It's affordable. Now, right now, they have at blackriflecoffee.com, you can get the complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Save 20%. With code Dana. Now, what this is it's a lineup of all of their classic Black Rifle Coffee blends. So you can try, like, three of my absolute favorites are in this. You can get 4 ounce bags of the Silencer Smooth, which I love, the AK-47 Espresso, which I love, and Beyond Black, which I also love, and then the Just Black. Everyone is absolutely amazing. The fuel kit comes in this really cool blue box, so it's a great gift for anybody who loves coffee, and it's available exclusively in ground texture as well. Try it, 4 ounce bags. The flavor is amazing. It's bold. It's a richness. They use the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. They bring them back to their veteran-owned, veteran-run facilities where they roast them 5 days a week. And you also can join the Black Rifle Coffee Club where you get your premium coffee and you get free shipping. Choose your roast frequency of shipment. It shows up on your door with free shipping. It's awesome. So check out blackriflecoffee.com. Save 20% with code Dana. Get that complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler so you can try all of my favorites and experience outstanding flavor and aroma only at blackriflecoffee.com. Again, that complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get it today. Get 20% off using code Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done for the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. Yes. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on, and she said she has changed. Yes.
No, she hasn't. She has not changed on it. She has not changed at all. By the way, this is what they're talking about. Audio soundbite 9. She still is here. Audio soundbite 9. Still here.
Just to follow up,
Just to follow up on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, to reiterate, you support the Medicare for All bill, I think initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance. So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
No.
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this? Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Well, see, I mean, that's that means a lot for people who liked their private insurance. I liked my insurance. I liked not... I don't like Obamacare. And when you were told, oh, you could keep your doctor. No, you couldn't. You couldn't. Absolutely, you could not. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. By the way, you can check us out. Channel 347 DirecTV also. Plus Rumble, where the discussion is. And you can also find us on X. I mean, she has always been against that. And she's always been against private insurance. And she's always, I mean, even when she was a senator, she was cheerleading the this penalty of what they were calling Cadillac plans. This isn't anything that's new. And the lie that she's, they're trying to reshape her. These are journalists that are taking her campaign talking points, and instead of questioning her and asking questions of why did you change this position? We know that you used to be this particular way. Why are you now? Why have you changed on it? Now they're just they're working with the campaign to reshape her image on this and to kind of scrub the path that she made when she's now trying to walk to the center on it. But make no mistake, she still wants to eliminate private insurance. Doesn't matter if you like your plan or not. That's how Obamacare works, by getting them to do this. So also over the weekend, what happened? Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm not an RFK Jr. fan. I'm not. I am ambivalent about RFK Jr. I'm not a fan. I'm not one of those people that gets super excited. It takes me a lot to say something nice about a politician. I don't get super stoked about candidates. There's some that I will get close to getting stoked about, but otherwise I really don't get stoked about them. And he is just one, because I just think he's, you know, on his positions on the 2A. I shouldn't have to sit here and preface this like I'm paying some sort of indulgent in the dark ages or anything. But I've disagreed with him on the climate change, and I've disagreed with him on 2A stuff. But he has every right to run for office. He has every right to challenge Democrats. You know, I mean, I like to watch the left fight itself. But this is what I thought was really trashy. I'm sure that you guys saw this. Carrie Kennedy is his sister, right? And the Kennedys, there's like a million of them. They all exist to go into politics. I don't know what private industry they participate in. I really don't. I mean, I don't want to know. I don't care. But I thought it was really trashy what they did over the weekend. So he drops out of the race, right? He drops out of the race. He endorses Trump. And immediately this family releases a statement. This was the statement that they released. Quote, statement on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s announcement today. We want an America filled with hope and bound together by a shared vision of a brighter future, a future defined by individual freedom, economic promise, and national pride. We believe in Harris and Walz. Our brother Bobby's decision to endorse Trump today is a betrayal of the values that our father and our family hold most dear. It is a sad ending to a sad story. Signed, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Courtney Kennedy, Carrie Kennedy, Chris Kennedy, Rory Kennedy. And I made the point that however bad you think that you have it in your life, however bad you think that your family is, at least you don't come from a gauche family that mistakes itself for royalty and gatekeeps a legacy that they did not earn by publicly trashing and betraying their own family member. That is the story of the Kennedys. And by the way, Joe Kennedy made his money, from bootlegging and manipulating the market. He was an abusive philanderer who they lobotomized their own daughter, Rosemary, because they, you know, she was born with some difficulties, and they were too embarrassed, I guess, to have her out in public. So they kept her hidden, and then they had her lobotomized. I mean, good heavens, this family's got some skeletons in the closet and in a car in a pond and elsewhere, you know. But that is, it's amazing that they are there. That's their whole industry, is the legacy of JFK and Bobby Kennedy, which is RFK Jr.'s dad. That's their legacy, is glomming onto that. And they feel like they have to gatekeep it. And anything that departs from that is a challenge to that money train, is a challenge to that legacy that they trade on. These, they actually do believe that they're like American royalty. And they gatekeep this to the nth degree. So however bad you think your family is, at least it's not that trash family that will turn on its own family member like that, trash them publicly because of politics. I can't think of anything more despicable than going against your own family like that publicly. It is heartless. I think it is, I think it's demonstrative of a complete lack of humanity from this white trash family. White trash. Actually, that's an insult to white trash. I know poor Appalachian families that have a hell of a lot more class than these people do. Just insane. And I mean, I think he's kind of used to dealing with it at this point. But how just horrible is that to treat your own fit? Because, and it's all about gatekeeping. Heaven forbid, they're the only people, they have a direct line to the dead, and they can just summon up the spirit of JFK and they can talk to, I mean, good night. It's just so weird. The family is weird. I think they're a weird family. And they all go into politics. They'll go into politics and law. Well, they go into law and they pay favors and pat backs, and then they go into politics from there. They all think that they're owed some seat. It is the most bizarre thing. Of course, then there's questions about JFK, you know, and the assassination and all that stuff. Trump keeps saying that he's going to release all those records. Then release it and release everything about the aliens, too. You know what? All you got to do is release all that stuff, abolish the IRS and the ATF, leave my guns alone, stop taking our money, and I'm cool. Right? It doesn't take a lot to make me happy. It really doesn't. And I want to read about the aliens, which I think Kane does too, you know? Yep. But I think he's, RFK is going to be joining the, I don't know when, but he's going to be joining the Trump campaign. And I think they're going to be campaigning around the country, going into some of these battleground states. I don't know what needle that moves. I don't think in California it's going to move a heck of a lot. Because it the way that the choice has to be defined is that people are going to have to realize if they vote for Kamala because they want to be on brand with everything that they've been told that they are by this party over the past several decades, they've got to be sold a message that overcomes that. Political branding is a very powerful thing. And people don't want to be, people who are very conscious of this don't want to be known as, oh, they look at, oh, gosh, I can't be a Republican. I can't be a Trump voter, which is why you got to get beyond that and speak to them about the issues and just keep hitting those issues. And it does, I do believe, benefit her that she only has such a short window for her campaign. Because while, yes, you can view it as it means it's less time for her to establish herself on a national stage, it also means that it gives her opponents less time to establish her on a national stage. And the vice president has always been given a little bit of benefit of the doubt. And I think that's what they're definitely trying to use with her. This arrest, I mentioned this earlier, of the Telegram founder, Pavel Durov, who created Telegram, he was arrested. This guy was arrested because he would not bend the knee to different companies that were wanting him to shut down speech that they dislike, for the lack of a better way to put it. And a lot of these, I mean, he was arrested in France. He's arrested in France. And he, right after he arrived at the airport, and they were saying, well, Telegram abides by EU laws. You know, its moderation is within industry standards. But they said, oh, no, no. He's, you know, they've been wanting him. They're looking at, anti-fraud. And they said they're accusing him of essentially scamming people, by allowing the platform to be used by trolls or scammers or whatever. Which, does that mean you're going to go, I mean, I got a scam email today. Does that mean that governments can go after, you know, my email provider for the same reason, because someone used it to try to send out a scam email. Or what about phone services or any number of things? But this was about, it's about speech. He would not comply with demands to shut down opposition in various countries that were dissenting against big government and against tyranny. And that's why he was arrested. And Australia, France, I mean, all of the stuff where people are being arrested for speech, you realize how many of these are NATO countries? NATO, barely, a lot of these NATO member nations barely fund the bare minimum of their defense as a percentage of their GDP. And they do receive assistance from the United States. What is the point of NATO if you are adopting everything Putin-esque about, you know, about Russia and about the Soviets, just not the name? If you're adopting the cultural suppression, the anti-speech, the crackdown on dissent, if you're arresting people for this, for challenging the status quo and for speaking out against tyrants, then how in spirit are you still actually a NATO nation? And why are we entertaining the idea of pretending that they are? We're going to talk more about this.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I can feel the excitement in this arena. It's filled with energy and with joy.
The air of joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy.
We will be joyful warriors.
The president of joy.
Let us choose joy.
Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, it was joyful for a convention. I know what real joy looks like because I've watched Oprah on her show. You thought people were happy to see her endorse Kamala Harris. You should see what they do when she gives them lip liner.
People want this. It's the Sony Vaio.
That was the response she wanted. Even the guy was excited about that in the audience. The guy was like, "There was one of my favorite memes is when she's when they go the one where she's like, you get a car, you get a car. And then someone changes it and it's bees. And it's you get bees, you get bees. And then someone like edited bees into everything. And everyone's ah! This is the exact same thing. Oh, my gosh. Ah, I'm telling you what. In the yeah, so I think that's what they, that was kind of the response that they wanted from the audience, but they didn't get that at the convention. So much joy. In the meantime, where the hell's Biden? Nobody knows. His schedule is blank today, yet he was visibly shaking, according to numerous reporters, not only the White House correspondent at Daily Mail, but others. He was, nobody, interestingly, nobody got briefed. You know what they said? Here's the other thing. So they said that he was shaking when he got on the plane and visibly shaking when he got off. And they go, oh, well, he was taking security briefings on the plane to California the whole time. That's probably why. No one believes that. No one believes that guy was taking security briefings on the plane for the entire 4-hour ride from Chicago to Santa Barbara. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes it. Oh my gosh, no one believes that. So either, I don't know, who's running the country? Does anybody know? All hell was breaking loose in Lebanon because, you know, with Hezbollah and Israel. And then you've got that happening. You also have oil. We're going to talk about oil prices and all of this. I mean, we got a lot of destabilization out there. We've got a lot of stuff happening domestically at the border, and nobody knows where he's at. I read another, the truth is coming out. You knew it would. All of these little whispers and rumors and gossip, all of this is now coming into fruition. It's coming out into the light. Nancy Pelosi reportedly told Biden that he had to drop out of the race or she was going to go public and humiliate him over how she did not think that he was a fit candidate. And that's what ultimately did it. It wasn't George Clooney's letter. It wasn't any of that. It was Pelosi calling the shots. And the other gossip is that he waited, or that he, because he really didn't wait too terribly long to endorse Harris, but he endorsed Harris rather quickly, faster than I think they were expecting, because he was trying to, the word is that he was trying to prevent Nancy Pelosi from pushing Kamala Harris out the way that they did him. Because Nancy Pelosi, even though she and Kamala Harris are both from California, they are not like besties. Nancy Pelosi endorsed Kamala Harris as primary challenger. So they're not super close. It's not like Kamala Harris and Barack Obama. And remember when we said that Michelle Obama, how she has been absent from the campaign trail for Biden's, it is because she is livid over how the Biden family treated Kathleen Buell. All of this is playing out in this primary, probably in the fundraising too. We got a lot more to hit as we roll towards the second hour. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
There's an intangible. It's different.
How are you feeling about the switch?
I mean, the switch.
Now, we went through a very open process, and a very inclusive process. It was bottom up. I don't know if you know that. Yes, that's what I've been told to say.
Yes, it was a blitz primary, I believe. That's what they called it.
It's a very, very fast blitz. I think it was a blink primary, so we call that.
Oh, a 30-minute convention, between a tweet and another tweet.
It's amazing how it happened.
Yeah, it's been amazing. But what is amazing is how unified everybody is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then he goes right back into it. He's like, yeah, well, it's like a Gordon Murray. What's amazing is how unified everyone is. Beep, boop, boop, beep. He went right back into that. That was weird. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this second hour. So one of my favorite things to do is to watch all these clips of all these, you know, surrogates and talking heads. And you can kind of figure out who's on whose side and who's going where and what this person thinks and what, you know, all of this. Because Newsom is very much, he's very much holding his powder, keeping his powder dry for 2028. 2028 has already started. Everyone, I heard you all die out there just then. I know, I'm so sorry, but it has. They've already started laying the groundwork for it. Welcome back to the program. We're at the top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also, the discussions at Rumble, that's where everybody hangs out during the live broadcast of the radio show, the simulcast, and also we stream on X too. You know it is. But I don't know who's going to win that fight. I want to kind of do it like Pokemon card style as we roll towards. Would you mark that, Kane? Let's make a note of that right now. Like, I choose you, Newsom. And, you know, and that just.
What would be his?
I don't know. That's what we got to come up with. Something with needles and feces. I don't know. Right? Like, it just, his head flies back like a Pez dispenser and a rainbow shoots out and it's a rainbow laser of needles and feces. So you get infected with something, you know.
So instead of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you get a pot.
No, it's like, you know how Godzilla goes, "Wah!" And then it's like that laser, but Gavin Newsom's looks like a rainbow, and then it just shoots needles and feces out. Ah! Maybe. I choose you. I don't know what it's called, his power. We're brainstorming this one. We're still, yeah. But that's what we got to do, because it's going to be, it is going to be a clown show of epic proportions on the Democrat side in 2028. At least let me, I'm just putting it like, at least you have that to look forward to, right? If, you know, your favorite thriller has wrapped, if, you know, reality television ain't your thing, this will be. It'll be like days of the Democrat primary. It is, that's the only thing that I'm looking forward to in terms of having to go through this again, is the absolute clown show that they're going to have. It will be unlike anything you've ever seen. They're going to all try out marks each other. But anyway, he did kind of let the mask slip there, did a little bit, did he? Didn't he? He's like, yeah, so I was like a coordination. But then, you know, you saw the unity. I didn't see unity. I saw a bunch of Borg. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. That's what I saw. I saw a bunch of Borg there. And they were all so happy over someone they didn't even get to cast a vote for. Why are we cheering? I don't even know. It was weird to watch that, right? They were watching a candidate be introduced that they didn't get to select. It was just odd to me. It was just very odd. Now, in the meantime, Audio Soundbite 17, Harris surrogates, they are already trying to argue about the debate. Audio Soundbite 17, listen.
And Donald Trump needs to talk about his actual agenda. It's scared to see that this former president is so scared to get on the debate stage. But I guess if I had his positions, I'd be scared to let the American people know what they worry as well.
So here's what I don't understand. The rules are the same. So, and this is Politico. Let me pull this up. I want to make sure I have. Politico was talking about the debate about the debate. Now, Trump had agreed to a rule about the rules about the debate. It was a Biden negotiated event, right? This is the ABC News debate. And it has to do with, it's the September 10th debate. June 27th was the first. September 10th is the second. They already agreed to all of the rules, everything. It was conducted by mutually negotiated rules. Biden had demanded microphones to be muted throughout the debate, except when the candidate whose turn it was to speak. The Trump camp didn't like it, but for the sake of having the debate, they agreed to it. And that was what CNN reported back on June 15th. They had agreed to it, even though they didn't like it. So that was already, they hashed these rules out. They agreed to them. Trump agreed to it. It was done, right? Now they subbed out the campaign. And Kamala Harris wants the mics back on. I mean, she's asking for some other things, but this is like the big one. She wants the rules changed. So they're saying, we just want him to, he's scared if he doesn't agree to these rule changes, apparently. She wants to do away with the muted mics because she wants the candidates to have uncensored exchanges. And as I had explained to you, I think the only reason that she wants an unmuted mic is because she wants to be able to act like Trump is talking over her at one point and do a repeat of what she did back during one of her more disastrous debates. And it was the one line, I didn't think it was a really great line at all. I thought it was kind of stupid, but where she had said, you know, I'm speaking and acted like this big, powerful woman who's shutting down the man trying to talk over her, even when she interrupted him. But that's, you know, a whole other point. They sold merch on that before she dropped out because she wasn't even at 1%. I think that's what she's wanting to do with this. I mean, they had the mics be muted, and then now they said they want the rules to change. And Trump said, well, if there's going to be a new debate agreement, we have to negotiate this. And Democrats are like, nope, now you're backing out. Scared. Yeah, you're scared now. I'm sorry. What in the hell? Why is ABC? Well, first off, why is ABC allowing her to do this? ABC should be getting involved here and going, no, 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 no. Look, y'all already agreed to these debates. These were the debate rules. This is how it works. We're going to stick to the rules. Now, Harris is coming in and the Harris campaign. They're upending the table and demanding that everything be changed. I just don't know why ABC is allowing this. Their whole debate could be derailed because she comes in after the deal has been made and then wants to change the terms of the deal that had already been agreed to a full month before she came into being the nominee. That does not project a position of confidence. What it sounds like is it sounds like she's nervous and she now wants to change the rules. And if there is any hesitation on the part of Trump, then she's saying that he's scared, but it looks like she's the one who's scared. This does not project confidence. And I have no idea why ABC is not getting involved in this and saying, no, these are the rules. This is how it works. This is what was agreed to. You don't get to sub in and then demand everything be changed. And then on top of that, say that the other candidate is the one with the issue. I mean, it's not. I still don't know why they're, well, I just don't even know why they're allowing it. It's just odd. But under the rules, it was the muting of the mic. And then Trump had said, I think it was what, last night, that he's considering just not, if she's going to keep doing this and changing the rules and redrawing the lines, and he may skip the ABC debate. Now everyone's like, oh, he's going to skip the debate because he's scared. Again, scared is the person who hasn't sat down with the media in the month that they've been the nominee running for office. Scared is the person who's now trying to change the rules of the debate weeks after they'd already been set, before they even assumed the nomination. That's what scared is. I don't know. Maybe he's worried that he'll ask questions that, I don't know, ABC wouldn't ask. Audio soundbite 20. Listen to this, Chuck Schumer.
Senator Schumer, what's your message to Gen Z?
Gen Z, Harris understands, Walls understands your problems, down payment for a house, $25,000. All the folks who can afford the monthly payment but can't afford the down payment, we're coming to help you.
Okay. They can't afford the monthly payment. They can afford what?
The down payment?
The down payment but not the monthly payment. That just means you can't afford it. Right? Did I hear him correctly?
Yeah.
They can afford the down payment but not the monthly payment. Is that what he just said?
That is what he just said.
Then you can't afford it at all. So this includes people who are here illegally, by the way. This was one of the, they've alluded to this, and her surrogates have also talked about this as part of her plan. She's going to give everyone, including people who come into the country illegally, that this is, they're going to get $25,000. That was from Gravian, towards the down payment of a new house. Yeah, if you can afford the monthly payment, for the folks who can afford the monthly payment but not the down payment, we're coming to help you. That's what he said. Right. So that still means you can't afford it.
Right.
That actually is worse. That means you totally can't afford it.
The point here is, too, your monthly payment's higher if you don't have a down payment.
Exactly.
That's what's so silly about his comment.
This is that $25,000 bonus or whatever to homeowners, taxpayer funded. That's going to add, they're anticipating starting at $200 billion to the deficit, which means the government's going to print more money, which means inflation's going to continue and become worse. So he had warned, and this was, we don't need this audio, but he had said, you know, Trump cut taxes and never found a way to make up the revenue. We will. I want it, just that sentence right there. First off, taxes is not a cost. Cutting tax is not a cost. Government spending is the cost. And I did say, though, and this is one of the criticisms that I had, and it was a very legitimate criticism of the administration regarding this policy. There were two things to the tax cuts. Number one, they were not made permanent. Number two, when you invoke tax cuts, which is great, you also have to reduce government spending. That never happened, and this was pre-COVID. That was pre-lockdown, pre-everything. I talked about it. I was lit up in email for bringing this up. But here I am these years later, and I'm absolutely correct, because what did Democrats do? They did exactly what I said they were going to do. They were going to cite that as a cost and say that they needed to tax more in order to make up for the revenue while still continuing to spend. Government's response is never to reduce spending. It is never to put a cap on what they're spending. It's always to put a cap on how much of your money that you are keeping. And so this is, and allowing this also to be used by people who are not even here legally. My gosh, we got more on this as we roll towards headlines, because we also got to get into New York Post had a very interesting piece. He's talking about eliminating the filibuster. he let that slip in an interview. And he said that getting rid of the filibuster, that's a pretty radical move to make, especially during an election and talking about it right before an election. We're going to discuss that. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there, they want to make sure that not only do you have exceptional cell coverage, but that you're paying what you can afford to pay for your cell coverage. They're not going to charge you an arm and a leg. And they also share your values as well. A lot of people are very worried about the economy, about inflation, about everything else. And so this is where companies like Patriot Mobile step up. So you're supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And when you switch, your money's not going against you. Your money's not working against you. Your money actually protects your values and instead of working to diminish them. And Patriot Mobile helps put a lot of momentum behind the issues that you care about. It's one of the reasons why I'm proud to partner with them. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch today to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, if you sing Amazing Grace for 10 minutes, it can reverse the effects of heart disease. I know that it definitely makes me not want to slap people. Did you know that, Kane? If scientists have discovered that belting out Amazing Grace could actually reverse the effects of heart disease. And they said sometimes Hey Jude can help with other people, but to a lesser extent. It's the Medical College of Wisconsin. They studied the impact of singing a variety of different songs and the effect on the blood vessels of older people with heart disease. And they said that people who sang Amazing Grace saw the biggest improvements in the endothelial function, a measure of how healthy blood vessels around the heart are. And they studied apparently a chunk of people. They recruited 65 men and women, mostly in their 60s. They were being treated for heart troubles. They got them all to do this. And they said that 22% saw an improvement in their blood flow, when they sang Amazing Grace. I have no idea. All I know is that when I get fed up, I'm like, Amazing Grace, how sweet. And then, I don't want to murder someone anymore. It's amazing how that works. Fauci was hospitalized with the West Nile virus. He's now recovering at home. This, according to MSN, he got the West Nile. He's apparently now at home recovering from that. By the way, speaking of which, I had a headline, too, that a number of people who were at the DNC, did you see this, Kane? They had contracted COVID. Apparently, COVID was spreading around the DNC like crazy.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Mpox?
No, it wasn't the Mpox, but it was the COVID.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that the masks didn't work. I'm so shocked by that, the masks. The U.S. Treasury is not the safe bet they once were, says research, according to Communism and Bidenomics. Ooh, update on the astronauts stranded on the space station. Remember, we were talking about this. They were going to come back. They made a deal with SpaceX. So now SpaceX, apparently they're planning to get them. But it's not going to be till February of 25. But they are saying that they can do it. It was apparently a big slap in the face to Boeing and everybody else, that Starliner, because they were wanting them to come back on that. So SpaceX is coming to the rescue. And they said adults without a college degree are more likely to have no close friends. Says a stupid survey that is stupid. And Quentin Tarantino blames Alec Baldwin for the Rush shooting. Oh, I'm going to talk about that more coming up. Stick with me. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15. The P15 is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. And it's the P15 is, I mean, it's the most concealable 9mm that I have. And there's two different versions. There's the metal version and the polymer version. I have both. I like the polymer version. But that metal version with those walnut wood panel textured grips on the side, they're just so nice. It looks like a James Bond gun. It comes with two magazines, standard 50-round magazine with minimal pinky extension. You also have a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tridiamond fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two-dot rear, and lifetime warranty from Kel-Tec, the inventors of the micro-compact pistol category. Quality made right here in the U.S. of A. You got to check it out. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I don't understand where this so-called vagary comes from. She released a pretty specific, detailed plan on a lot of her economic agenda, whether it's about trying to do specific things like with tax credits and more to create more housing and to help to create more supply and thus lower the cost of housing. She let out specific plans.
Yeah, you know, like the housing, you know, the plan with the housing, the specific plan with it. You know, the housing, Jake, with the four walls and the floor. And then, you know, there's typically like a roof on it, you know, with some windows and a couple of doors, the housing, those plans, very specific with those plans. It was Cory Booker talking to Jake Tapper, saying she's got plans out there. Where? I mean, she talked about the housing thing, but then when you go to her website, guess what? There's nothing up there. I think it's kind of important to make sure that you got stuff up there, right? Especially when people are trying to figure out. No, I listened to a surrogate this morning. It was the same surrogate who said, well, she's not talking to the media. She's taking her plan to the people. And then someone said, okay, well, what if the people want to go to her website? Well, they didn't say it like that. They had sort of asked, well, where can they go to find information? And I'm thinking her website. And they said, well, you know, she's talking about all her plans, you know, details and all of it when she's going out and talking to these voters with no cameras or media people present at all whatsoever. It's crazy how that works. I don't believe that. That's so good. And don't you need the media to kind of amplify what you're talking about? I mean, one would think anyway. I mean, one would think, but apparently not them. I don't think that that's going to keep going. I don't think that's going to keep working for them. It also doesn't help that you've got Chuck Schumer out there saying, yeah, let's get rid of the filibuster. The end run around the longstanding requirement that we have 60 votes to pass non-fiscal legislation. And he has, I know, really been pushing to get rid of that. And he said it. I mean, that would, if they have House and Senate and White House, that means no more filibuster. And then Mike Lee's warning everyone, that's the point of no return. When Democrats control it and they get rid of the filibuster, that means that you will have a Marxist, I don't want to say government. It's just total government power, progressive federal government, indefinite rule by Democrats. That's it. Ooh. Excuse me. Allergies in Texas. And when you do a simulcast and you're on camera and you have nowhere to go, you got to sneeze. That is a point of no return. I agree with him. It absolutely is. There's just no way to get around it. And Lee notes that you had one political party that ruled Mexico for most of the 20th century. And when you eliminate the filibuster and you have complete Democrat rule with no way at all whatsoever to oppose it, you get that. You get a packed Supreme Court. I don't even know why they use that phrase, packed court. It just means that we had always agreed upon 9 justices. That's the way it is, 9 justices. And Democrats lost the election in which 2 of those or 3 of those seats became available. And then they ended up missing out because they lost the election. And now they want to change it and just create a bunch of seats onto it so that they can change the balance of ideology from constitutional towards bigger government. That's what that means. I don't even know why they use the phrase pack the court. I hate that phrase because I feel like it's so vague. And yes, he says this. Go ahead and play this. He was talking about abortion, and that's where it starts. But he was saying that they'll get rid of the filibuster if we have that to play. That
I don't know if he says it at the end.
It doesn't say. Okay, well, hold on. That should be an ad. That should be an ad. It should absolutely be an ad. I mean, here's the other question. Why are more Republicans not making this point? Why are more Republicans not talking about this and making the case of why it's bad to just start appointing, you know, randomly people to the Supreme Court. Not enough are talking about it. I mean, the Constitution does, I mean, Congress, yes, can determine the justices, but after what, 1870, 1860 something, it was always at nine. And there have been people who have tried, Democrats, who have tried to manipulate this for eons, like FDR. He wanted to be able to allow the president to appoint a new justice for every justice that hit 70, who was at least 70 years old. And Congress did not entertain that idea from Roosevelt, but that's what Roosevelt wanted to do. They were like, that might give you a little too much power, guy who decided to go for a third term. That might give you a little bit too much power. He wanted to do the New Deal, and the Supreme Court was battling him on the New Deal. And so his response was he wanted to pack the Supreme Court. It's always been Democrats that want to manipulate the court to their means. And that's what Schumer has been talking about. New York Post notes it. That's what Schumer's been talking about. This is what you get in November should they win. And you know what that means? Imagine the packed Supreme Court. That means a complete lawless, totally lawless border. I mean, there's not going to be any question with that. That means the college tuition will be paid for by you. You can't probably afford to send your own kids to college, but you'll be paying for Democrat well-to-doers who want to go and get a grad school degree. Go to grad school. You'll be paying for their college. And in the meantime, what? Inflation, government spending, packed court is the end of America. Or this idea of getting rid of the filibuster is the end of America. Pat Court's end of America. Speaking of immigration, I want to share this story with you before I forget and run out of time this hour. DoorDash and Uber Eats. So we've seen, how many of you order from that? A lot of you order, DoorDash or Uber Eats, right? There's, you know, sometimes it gets like really, really busy. There'll be sometimes in the evening. I like to cook. I really do enjoy cooking, but especially now with this cycle and all of the changes that Democrats have like proposed to do, you know, push to do different things that contradict with existing law. There's a lot to keep up with and, you know, a lot of other stuff going on. It's an election season, etc. So I'll get real busy. I'll order DoorDash or Uber Eats or something every now and then. And I didn't realize this. I didn't really pay attention to it. And not that you would be able to tell, because people can actually rent out and sell these accounts. So DoorDash and Uber Eats, there are tons of Venezuelan immigrants who entered illegally, who are now working as food delivery drivers across America. There have been over 1 million Venezuelan citizens who have flooded largely illegally into the United States. Now, some have gone the legal way, and that's totally fine. Go the legal way. Let everybody know who you are. We just don't want terrorists coming up in here and axe murderers and rapists and kid touchers and all that stuff. Let people know who you are, etc. But largely, like over 90%, it's not bad. And coming in through the U.S.-Mexico border. Now people are wondering about the safety of the delivery apps and the ability of trust. Can customers trust these people delivering food to their homes? And then you get, you know, personal information that's, you know, that's out there. So apparently people who've been coming into the country legally say that these jobs are one of the easiest ways to make money when they first come here. One Venezuelan door driver who came here illegally told the press that even before I left Venezuela to come here, I knew I could rent an account that wasn't mine to work in food delivery. The crazy thing is that people will sell these accounts like on Facebook and Twitter, and you can shut it down. You can shut the account or X, and then another one will open up like that doing the same thing. I mean, they crop up. And this guy said, there's another guy who said he was authorized to work in the U.S., or he was waiting for authorization, because that can sometimes take weeks to wait for your authorization. He didn't want to be associated with crime, asked that his name be withheld. And he said, he was able to set up and get his account to do this even before he got here. They said that at least there are thousands of Venezuelans who've come to the DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth, legally and illegally, many illegally. And you pay a fee and you rent out a delivery app account. Like someone will say on X, and there's screenshots of all of this. Like, who's renting a DoorDash account? There was a Venezuelan Friends in Dallas, Texas group on Facebook. Now, some are here legally, but largely these are used by people who are not here legally. And they, I mean, they'll publicly discuss it, or they'll discuss it in these groups, like rent an Uber account, or I'm renting my Uber account, message me if someone's interested, etc. And they said, this one guy said, the rental's $150 a week. You have to keep it active for 3 months continuously. And if you want to buy it, it's $900. And you can do, like they do install, it's crazy. And you deliver food, and you or make these deliveries with these apps. And it's very easy. Now, I know, I'm going to stop myself. Do you see the problem that is arising from the problem of an open border? My first thought was, when Democrats start getting criticized for this, what are Democrats going to say in response? Because they've already been at war with third-party contractors, correct? Licensing in different sense, particularly in states like California. So what is the problem that you think they're going to say they're going to solve when they're criticized about illegal immigrants using and abusing these apps this way? We need government oversight of these apps. We need government oversight of DoorDash and Uber to be able to figure out who is it. That's what they're going to propose. It's almost like they set up for further government incursion into digital spaces and digitally based businesses. But the problem is just to shut the damn border to people flooding in illegally. But that's not how they'll look at it. Texas and then apparently specifically the Bay Area of California are hotspots, like the Dallas area and then like around the Bay Area of California. And a lot of them are worried about gang members getting this information or taking advantage of these services, etc. And they said organized crime will always find a way, according to one user. It's going to be hard to tell the good people from the bad people. And doesn't that make it, you know, that's kind of, think about it, that's kind of harsh. Because what if it's, I honestly think, yes, you're breaking the law when you come in illegally. It's a crime. And there should be penalty for that. But I also think that there are grades of crime. Being a, you know, killer gang member is probably worse, I would think. And this, doesn't this not go against Democrats' argument about immigrants? Oh, not all immigrants are criminals and all of this other stuff. But do you realize what you're setting them up for this failure? Because you've kept the border open. You've made it, even when people come here legally, Democrats have refused to work with Republicans to remove a lot of the red tape and expedite the process for good, hardworking people that say, hey, look, here we are. Here's everything. We're coming in. We're bringing our skill set in. We want to raise our kids. Hell, we'll vote Republican. We don't even care. Fine with all that. But you see what I mean? It's like they're setting people up to fail. They don't change any of the mechanics. They just make it worse. It's one of the craziest things. And I mean, I never actually thought about this. And I mean, now, when you do your DoorDash or Uber, like, do you have like a no contact delivery thing?
Yeah, I have that option where they just leave. So the instructions for me is just leave it at the, I have a chair at the door on my front porch. So just leave it there on the chair and then ring the doorbell. And that's my instructions.
I think a lot of people do that. Yeah. I have no contact.
That's ever since COVID.
That before COVID, really.
Did you? Yeah. I'm not surprised. But
no,
I did say that.
Because I'm like I get so awkward in one-on-one conversations. It's the most awkward thing ever. If you've ever met me in real life and it's not in a big group setting, you're like, how does she do what she does? I don't know. If it's like one-on-one, I'll be like, what about that weather? It's just weird. It's just me.
Baseball.
But there are like all of these, like one of the local stations here in DFW was talking about people who are here illegally and then they rent out these accounts, and she's had her car hit and other people have had like stuff stolen and there's a lot of stuff that's happening. And you realize these are all these Democrat policies that are setting this up. So now you're going to be like suspicious of anybody coming and dropping food off at your door. Anybody's going to be suspicious. Even if you've ordered the food, when they put it at your door, you're going to be watching and waiting. Are they gone? Have they left yet? Have they left yet? Are they walking away? It's weird. And we pay for this mess with our taxes. We got more on the way. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I think you would learn for the first time when you were doing this, and then maybe the 75th time, you know? I don't think this Florida man still learned. His name is Mark Brents. He looks like he doesn't care. It's Hillsborough County, Florida. He's 57. I'm sorry, hold up. 57? This man is 57. This man is not 57 years old. No way. No way.
Drugs will do it to you.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Juan's going to throw it up there because you guys got to see this. Every now and then this happens. Mark Brents, 57. He has apparently done this barcode manipulation scheme in Lowe's for quite a long time. He was finally arrested after the, 75th time that he did it. He's 57. I can't believe it. He switches barcodes on stuff. And then he goes to the same Lowe's. That's the thing. He doesn't just like go around to different Lowe's. He goes back to the same Lowe's. They finally got him this last time. He went to 10 different times, a handful of stores, over $4,500 in merchandise. And they even said, in one article I read, said, yeah, we know it was him. We know it's him when he's in it because he keeps doing it. I wanted to touch on this one. This Florida man, if you're denied a dog at a dog adoption, don't pull a gun out on someone, especially two women. Apparently that's what happened. Tampa police had to get involved. And yes, she did not get the dog, safe to say. Stick with us. We got more in store.
You know, I think this is really the stakes this November couldn't be higher, which is exactly why my whole family will be fighting so hard to reelect Kamala Harris and Coach Waltz, champions for the values that my family has fought for years. Donald Trump is the polar opposite. He's a threat to most basic freedoms that are core to who we are as Americans, the right for women to control our bodies.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired of this. That's Carrie Kennedy, who's disavowing her brother's endorsement. I mean, heaven forbid her brother goes out and endorse and she's got to go out. Oh, I got to get the spotlight too. I got to go out there. And I'm so, her statement though that she released, and we talked about this our first hour, was so trashy. I mean, name checking him and saying it's just sad that I think it's sad that you're so desperate to gatekeep a legacy that you didn't make and grift off of it that you would trash your own blood. That's absolute trash. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Rumble. You can find us on X. Rumble's where everybody hangs out and has discussions. And channel 347 on DirecTV. Yeah, I am amazed at, they keep talking about the change, but yet they're in charge. And in the meantime, Biden is heading to his Delaware beach house from Sunday to Tuesday, according to Miranda Devine, reported the FAA no fly zone alert. And he was, right after he spoke at the DNC in Chicago, the family took the flight to Santa Barbara. And I made mention of this. I talked about this story because a number of reporters have mentioned it. And there was a big piece of Daily Mail. There was something over at Axios, or I think it was Axios or Politico. And they were saying he was visibly shaking, like shaking when he got off the plane. And that Tuesday night when he spoke, he was on, Kane, was it 12:30 Eastern when he finished? Yeah. I just remember I was so tired. I couldn't stay up because I had traveled. I was in Knoxville that weekend for a Gun Owners for America event. And then I was so so much stuff going on. And I remember he was up so late. And I'm like, I cannot keep watching this. This is crazy. I've got to go to bed. I'm so tired. And he was still talking. And it would have been later. They said that they had nixed this video tribute that they made for him. Do you really think they made one? I don't know. And there were James Taylor was going to play. Was he there? Can you imagine being James Taylor and you're brought out? That was Biden's favorite singer. You're James Taylor and you're brought out. And then they're like, we don't have time for you. Because they let everybody else go. And so they had Joe speak, and you could tell he was mad. They were all mad. And they sort of relegated him towards the very end of the show after half of America had already gone to bed because it was 12:30 Eastern. And then he gets on the plane, goes to California. He's at this ranch for a week with his family. The whole family goes. I guess none of them work. And he's there for a week, and he was visibly shaking. Interestingly, how there were no photos or video of it. Because the press protects him is why. Now, some interesting things in the now that we're in the aftermath of the DNC. So they said that Michelle Obama only confirmed her speaking spot, only confirmed that she would speak at the DNC after Biden had dropped out. She would not confirm it before then. She was very close. She was a very close friend. And you can go back before all of this happened. You can look at previous articles from like 10 years ago, longer. She was always very close with Hunter Biden's ex-wife, Kathleen Buell. They were always very close in D.C. They lived in D.C. They talked regularly. They were actually real friends, not just political friends. They were real friends. And the rumor was, it was always out there. Everybody was kind of aware of it, that she was livid with the way that the Bidens had treated Buell, and she took Buell's side. You know, and her husband, Barack Obama, he's former president, that was his vice president. You know, he's got to kind of, you know, play the game. Michelle Obama didn't have to. So the word is that she, which is why her name wasn't added onto the website until, and that was, somebody had put that on X, and it was the night after Biden had dropped out, and that's when her name was put on the as a speaker. She would not confirm until after he had dropped out because she wasn't going to be there if he would. She was not going to be there. Interesting how that, there's a lot of drama going on there. The Biden's influence and all of that is done. Done. He was never a good fundraiser, even when he had all of his wits. He's not going to be. I mean, the family is utterly useless to Democrats. And if you're utterly useless, you're just swept under the rug. If you can't raise money, which is the reason Bill Clinton has been around as long as he's been, because he was always a powerhouse fundraiser. That's why they kept him around for as long. He was a powerhouse fundraiser. Barack Obama can raise money, too. It's interesting. Barack Obama wasn't able to start raising money until really his second term. His coattails used to be so short that people like Claire McCaskill and others refused to do campaign events with him. Because they did not want him to tank their chances. This was in the 2012, actually, when we took the shellacking. Interesting. 2012, it wasn't until after that waypoint. And even, 2010? People didn't want to fundraise with him. So interesting. He, especially middle America, folks, because of the bitter clinger remark that followed him. Anyway, so my point in bringing this up is they're not... They seem unified on the surface because that's what the media wants you to think, but they really aren't. And I keep hearing that the internal polling numbers, and I want to talk about that here real quick for Harris and some of these others. I keep hearing that the internal polling numbers are kind of rough and they're not what they want them to be, which is one of the reasons why like 538 didn't, you know, the New York Times thing, why they didn't have them up. And I thought that was kind of interesting because nationally, if you look at the RCP average, et cetera, they're pretty close, right? Which, but there's, I think there's a reason why they keep pushing this unity and joy and shoving it down your throats, because there really is not a lot of unity and joy behind the scenes. And according to the internal polls show that Kamala in some of these battleground states may actually be minus one, as opposed to tied, with the margin of error, instead of, you know, barely ahead or, you know, something else. Her not saying anything about the doing stuff like what she did today, releasing a statement that a staff member wrote on the 3-year anniversary of losing 13 service members after the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan, does not help, because she has that optic problem that Hillary Clinton had. She does not look genuinely warm. She does not look empathetic. And I mean, and Biden wasn't much better. Audio sent by 27. This was Gold Star mother of Lance Corporal Dylan Marola. She was relating her experience when she met the former president upon after she lost her son. Listen.
When Joe Biden, our elected president, entered the room, when he approached me, his words to me were, my wife Jill and I know how you feel. We lost our son as well and brought him home in a flag-draped coffin. My heart started beating faster, and I started shaking, knowing that their son died from cancer and they were able to be by his side. Also wondering how someone could honestly, be so heartless to say he knew how I felt a little over 24 hours and learning of my son's death. After this encounter, I have never had any personal correspondence, nor has my son been honored or his name spoken by this commander-in-chief or his administration on what I feel is because of their failures and poor planning to exit our troops from Afghanistan.
And we have a statement from both of them today. That's it. A statement from Harris and Biden. Oh, you know, these people, etc. These 13 service members. Just a really, really bad optic. And that doesn't play well even with their own Democrat voters. They're going to be struggling with enthusiasm on their own side. That's for sure. I mean, they've got to find some kind of footing. And I think her whining about the debates and doing the whole, I'm scared. I don't think that's not going to help. A couple of other things to touch on as well, because we've got Stephen Yates, who's going to be joining us here later on. And this is, let's pull this up. The story about the women, I'm sure you've seen this, in Afghanistan. Now, since, you know, the pullout from Afghanistan, I'm sure you have seen at this point now they have what the rule is, that women cannot show any skin. They cannot show their hair. No wrists can be visible. No ankles can be visible. They passed a law that bans them from showing their faces, even speaking in public. They are not allowed to look at any males that are not relatives. And their burqas must cover their faces entirely. Wow. And that's what the Taliban has passed. No, we help finance, by the way, We help finance this. We help finance it. In addition to that, so we not only help finance that regime change, the restoration of the Taliban in Afghanistan, but now we're helping to pay and watch the back of countries and NATO who balked at paying just a tiny percentage of their own GDP towards their own defense that would make up, 6 or 7% of their GDP, like a tiny bare minimum number. And now they are arresting dissenters. They are arresting people like Pavel Durov, CEO of Telegram, founder of Telegram. They're arresting people who protest in London. I'm not quite sure it's within our interest even to defend countries that are in every way but name, like Putin at this point. I mean, where's the lie? Good heavens, where's the lie? Just a lot of questions there. We're going to bring it up with Stephen Yates here coming up. And we also, I'm also going to ask him, did you hear about this? U.S. Navy is sidelining 17 vessels due to a manpower shortage. They say it makes it difficult to properly operate ships across the fleet. I wonder why they're having a problem with getting people to sign up. That's so weird in a year of weird.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Wow, so over 100 people had to be rescued by helicopter because they got trapped by flash floods near the Grand Canyon. It's Havasu Creek that left people trapped. There's one hiker who apparently is still missing. The flooding happened. It was kind of quick how it happened. They said it was massive flash flooding on Thursday. And it was 104 tourists total and tribal members that had to be evacuated from the area. And it's a very remote part of the country. It's about a half mile from Colorado River. So, good heavens, everybody stay safe. This is schools are competing with cell phones because some schools are removing them from the classrooms entirely. The Associated Press gets into some of this. They're saying that students are actually, performing better when you do remove phones from the classrooms. They said that teachers have been fighting shortened attention spans, reduced attendance, worsening academic performance, and they're trying to reverse this. They're banning cell phones in school. Some schools are going so far as to ban them on the campus entirely, which I don't know if that's like the best thing to do if you're at a football game at night and your parents need to pick you up, but I mean, at least that they're putting them in cell phone pouches, lockers, and bins. That has grown in popularity. And some students, though, have given up trying to stop. Some teachers have abandoned trying to stop it altogether. But they said that it's there's really nothing to, you can't compete with a cell phone in the classroom, which is true. I mean, that seems like obvious. And parents, obviously, I think would be good partners for this. Oh, but I saw this over the weekend. They're saying that there's a new vaccine, by the way, that's out. The COVID vaccine, the latest vaccine is out for COVID. Oh, and they've got new free COVID tests again coming out. Free, meaning we're paying for this stupid stuff. They're made in China, by the way. You know this, right? They're made in China, just like the last ones were made in China. The Biden administration is bringing back the free at-home COVID-19 tests by mail. Each house can order up to 4 of the rapid tests through covidtests.gov. Is this still a thing? Are people still doing this? Are we still doing, you know, they're not accurate. And not only are they not accurate, but, I mean, again, made in China. Let's see. Sports gambling is taking a toll on Americans' checkbooks, according to research. I didn't know this was such like a big, I mean, yeah, it does make sense. This is CNBC. They're saying that researchers have been looking at the impact of legalized sports gambling on American households, and they found that households in states where gambling was legalized, they saw reduced savings, as well as they said lower investments in assets like stocks that are considered more financially sound. States have legalized sports betting saw their residents' aggregate credit scores decrease also, and bankruptcies increase. Yeah, it's not a free lunch legislation. We got Stephen Yates next.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour on Monday. We still have weeks to go before November, everybody, so it's just going to get so fun. Joining us now, because we've got, you know, I always like to talk about China because I hate Xi Jinping. I hate commies and I hate communist Xi Jinping. So like, you know, all those three go together. Nobody in media is better than Stephen Yates on this issue. But I also got to ask a couple of other things too, along the lines of foreign policy. You guys know Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. I almost said Twitter, but on X, senior fellow at America First Policy Initiative, and he's also chair of the China Policy Initiative. So two eyes messed up there. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you. And everybody knows that Stephen Yates also just had a birthday. Happy 30th birthday.
Again.
We're very You're in your 30s now. It's your dirty 30. So happy birthday to you. So we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much. Fewer candles to blow out.
Yes. I wanted to ask you a question, not so much about the founder from Telegram. This guy who gets arrested, CEO and founder of Telegram, he gets arrested in France. But what amazes me, and looking at his story, and I was reading about, you know, what they were trying to charge him with, scammers can use, people who, you know, can use his platform, just like they can use email, they can use cell phone services, etc. They were just mad because he doesn't want to bend a knee to suppression of speech. When did all of these NATO countries start being like Russia and everything but name with these Putin-esque suppression, jailing dissenters, all of this? I mean, what is the point of having NATO nations if NATO nations are just going to be like Soviets?
It's extremely, I think, very, very destructive to the idea of an alliance. Because you look at, this is not happening in isolation. We've had strains about old Europe having sweetheart deals with Russia at the same time they expect America to take the lead on expense and risk in deterring Russia. And then we had that really odd episode of Elon Musk committing the mortal sin of talking on a platform for 2 hours with former President Trump. And apparently that was a threat to my democracy inside Europe. And there was a terrible threatening letter there. This is another thing that you would think under normal circumstances, even among Democrats in the United States, you'd say this is a chilling signal when it comes to your political order. There used to be times when our State Department would criticize governments for doing these kinds of things. It certainly does begin to really delineate the world between those who are prepared to respect and defend free speech and those who are not. And it's pretty clear to me that our alliances need to begin to reorder around that principle, because why in the world would we risk blood and treasure for those who aren't willing to protect the freedom to organize and freedom of speech and threaten to persecute it even in our own boundaries, not just over there?
You made a really good point in that, you know, normally you would have somebody from the State Department who would say, we don't agree with this, or this was too heavy-handed. Our State Department seems to agree with it, though. I mean, at least this administration, that's also terrifying. We're all kind of in the same Soviet soup here, for the lack of a better way to put it.
Well, we've had a long time since 9/11, and after 9/11, one of the things that went into kind of hyperdrive was being able to monitor everything. And there's a part of the national security part of my brain that is sympathetic to some of that some of the time, as long as you have checks and balances, that people no longer have faith exists. And there's reasons why they don't have faith that those checks and balances don't exist, because we have witnessed profound abuses that have not gone after potential terrorists conducting attacks on our homeland. They've gone after granny breaking COVID rules, or they've gone after someone who went to a parade for unauthorized purposes. And so there's all kinds of abuse that's happened. And, you know, I think the United States has set kind of a bad example in recent years on that. I'm ashamed to say, would love us to be leading the way. But we shouldn't be shocked that Europe, that doesn't have our Bill of Rights at its foundation and established principles, is going to kind of go further than we'd be comfortable. It's time to pull back on this. I think we have friends in Europe that would feel the same. It's a shame we don't have more leaders in America speaking on common cause with them.
I completely agree. We're talking with our friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comes on X. It's the third anniversary of 13 service members losing their lives after that disastrous withdrawal from Kabul in Afghanistan. And the president was in Santa Barbara since Tuesday for vacation, and now he's in his Delaware Beach house until I think Tuesday, still on vacation. The vice president, I think both of them sent out a statement that probably some staff member wrote. They didn't mention the 13. We mentioned their names in the first hour. They didn't mention the names of the 13 service members. Apparently, they haven't reached out to any of them. And then the Taliban, over the weekend, it comes out, they've passed a law. They're banning women from showing faces, speaking publicly. Burqas have to entirely cover their faces. They can't show any skin, no ankle, no wrist, no nothing. And they cannot look at any males that are not relatives. You know, you can't leave your house unless you have a male relative. That reversed a lot of progress that had been made, you know, up until that time. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this. Third year's out and Afghanistan's now back where it was.
Well, this one really, really hurts, I think. There's a personal part of it, a political part of it, and a strategic part of it. The personable part of it, I just can't think of anything more willfully hurtful for a commander-in-chief and a wannabe commander-in-chief to completely disrespect the surviving spouses and families of these people. If you can't bring yourself to man up, and I don't know what is a man anymore, but if you can't bring yourself to man up and face these people that are the living consequences of your policies, who've made the ultimate sacrifice for the United States of America, whether the policy was right or wrong, they've made the sacrifice, stand with them. And if you can't say their names, you better be doing something darn impressive outside of that. But this is personally very hurtful to those people. And I find that just infuriating, saddening, sickening, all the bad words. The political part of it, just baffles me how Kamala Harris can say, I was the last person in the room with the president when he made this decision, trying to kind of wax on about commander-in-chief chops, and you won't own this? I mean, even just to go to a ceremonial observance at Arlington National Cemetery, which is one of the basic things that a president and or a vice president should be doing, I don't know how any veterans group around the country can salute, much less vote for, this kind of leadership. What nothing says I devalue those who serve more than something like this. And they still throw out the crap sandwich of a rumor of a disgruntled chief of staff making up what Trump never said.
Right.
But this is real life now in our face. And that should have political consequence. I don't know. Strategically, though, I can't think of anything that was more important of a pivot in the world and American foreign policy than that Afghanistan withdrawal. Look at the fruits of that disaster, not just the travesty that's unfolding with the Taliban going back to being the Taliban, something jumping Joe Biden said couldn't happen, wouldn't happen with his 50 years of foreign policy expertise, supposedly. But the Russia situation followed, China's encroachment, Iran getting more aggressive, October 7th, all these things, I think, are fruit of that poison tree. And I think that Obama, Biden, and Harris all share ownership in this.
Yeah.
And I think strategically, it's bad for the United States and bad for the world.
And the next branch on that poison tree, this headline from the New York Times just a few hours ago, I knew that Chinese planes always went into, their military planes went into international airspace. This apparently was the first confirmed entry of a Chinese military plane breaching Japanese airspace. It was on their southwestern coast. It's today. Japanese Defense Ministry confirmed it. And they said it was 11:30 a.m. their time on Monday. And they put their fighter jets on high alert. They issued a warning to the Chinese aircraft. And they said, again, you know, echoing what I just said, they've had these military planes around Japan in their international airspace. This was in their airspace. How much of an escalation is this? Because that's not accidental.
It's not accidental, and it is basically more of a hunting and measure for reaction kind of exercise. It's not indicative of something happening tomorrow, but it's definitely indicative of preparations for someday. You have basically the Chinese Communist Party government hoarding up resources so they can survive heavy sanctions and isolation. You have them monopolizing supply chains in critical areas that could have an impact on us or our friends or protect themselves. And they have this increase in number and strategic significance of encroachment. It's all been around Taiwan for a very, very long time, but the Philippines and Japan are getting a heavier dose of it now. And for now, at least, the governments in Manila and Tokyo are standing up and pushing back. But I don't think that they have any knowledge of where our president, our current commander in chief, is on this. I think they're afraid to have to act on their own. And we have treaty alliances that are supposed to deal together on this.
Hey, you would think that one of those allies would say something. The U.S. would say something, you know, like Anthony Blinken, like this is inappropriate. You can't have your military planes going in an ally's airspace like this with Japan.
We might even send officials to said allies to stand shoulder to shoulder with them and talk about ways we're going to improve our defense cooperation. So when the Chinese representatives provoke, they pay 10 times the price in having a stronger, independent Japan for doing so. That would be rational. That would be helpful. But that's not in the cards in the waning days of this administration.
Yeah, because they're not just testing Japan. They're testing the United States. They're testing Canada. They're testing Australia. They're looking at all of these nations to see how they respond. And so far, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I haven't seen anybody say this is bad. I mean, at the very least, like, no, no, you shouldn't do that. My dog gets in trouble more than apparently the Chinese communists do.
Well, they got a little reaction on the Philippines, but that part of that is because you can't demagogue the Philippines,
right,
and you can't really get too many friends saying the Philippines provoked you.
Yeah.
They when it comes to Japan, unfairly, they'll go back to World War II, but the Communist Party of China has killed way more human beings since then. But they'll still try to play that political warfare with Japan. But shame on us. I mean, where's the United States, Canada, UK, the G7, whatever, standing up for Japan when stuff like this happens?
Yeah.
Are they going to threaten to cut back on their investment and dependence on China? So far, mum's the word.
Mum's the word. Well, we're not going to get anything from this administration. He's on perpetual vacation, and Harris runs from the press. She doesn't have any specificity to any of her plans. So we wait, and the world holds its breath. Stephen Yates at Yates Comms, always so good to see you. Happy belated birthday, my friend. We're praying for y'all, and God bless. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Dana. Take care.
You too.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
The truth is, they're trying to get out of it because she doesn't want to debate. She's not a good debater. She's not a smart person. She doesn't want to debate. But when I looked at the hostility during the weekend, you watch it this week with George Slopidopoulos. And the Vietnamese didn't get that one. You got it.
Yes, sir.
If you didn't get it, I couldn't push. But we want to have fairness. We have to bring fairness back to the country.
Okay.
And we have to have a president. We are the closest to World War III, I believe, that we've ever been right now.
It's like, isn't it like the same tie? I wonder if it was on purpose. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash. That's Trump. He's trolling her at this point. Like, she's not smart enough for debate. Her ego will compel her to respond to that. That's going to happen. Did you guys see this photo, this stuff with Tim Walz's dog? Can I just say, some people who live on social media take things way too damn seriously. I'm not talking about the people who posted about the dog. I'm talking about the people who are reacting to the people who are posting about the dog, right? Like, I saw somebody, because look, he did say, he posted a picture of his dog Scout, which is this fawn colored dog. And then he posted a picture of like a brindle, and he said, oh, Scout. I'm like, and it did look confusing. He put it up there, and someone had both of the tweets saying, wait, these are both your dog, Scout? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I reposted it, and I said, wait, what? Someone was like, don't post like a dumb prog. And I am vicious in response. I don't care. Like, I just don't. Like, don't be stupid in a response. And I don't even remember what I said.
That's what
but,
I love.
Huh?
It's what I love.
Well, I just don't have time for that. It's like, quit taking everything so seriously. Unclench your butt. You know, my gosh. It's funny. Not everything has to be like, you know, national treasure stolen or something like that. Stop it. Just stop. Take it. And then don't be like all offended if you get that energy, right? Because sometimes the world will give you that energy that you put into it, especially if you're on my mentions. Don't do that. Just, I don't know. I think it's funny. I thought it was, I'm like, it is goofy. The guy's, someone else said he's got a lot of stuff on his. I don't care. It's funny. Right. It's two different dogs. I wanted to say, what in the gnome is this? But I didn't.
The previous Scout has been replaced with new Scout.
New and improved Scout. I was telling Kane, I got to be careful what I say on my phone or even what I look at, because all of my video algorithms, they think that I like Roman history and Japanese products. That's all it shows me. Roman history facts and Japanese products that are supposed to blow your mind, which they do. And I was just telling Kane about the pudding in a box. It's a box of pudding in it. You just put it on a plate.
I don't get it.
Just
so it's like cream cheese in a box?
Yeah, but it's pudding.
But it's pudding?
It's pudding in a box.
Those Japanese.
And then they've got little gum buttons. I don't even know what it is. That's crazy. I look at this and I'm like, that does actually blow my mind. This lives up to the descriptive hype. It does. So that's all it shows me anymore. So half the time, I try not to go on social media, but when I do, and especially if it's Instagram or Facebook, that's all it shows me. I think I might start reposting some of that stuff. Okay. Before I totally eat up your time, today in stupidity.
Actually, it's not bad at all. This is a short one. It is stupid, but I think it's also It's intentional. This is Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, and she was asked if the illegal immigration issue is going to be, it's going to be a negative for Kamala, and she's like, no, I don't think so. Listen to this.
Are you worried the migrant crisis is going to hurt Kamala Harris?
We're going to be just fine because the number of migrants crossing illegally is lower today than it was under Donald Trump.
Wait a minute.
You sure already know that.
That's a direct lie, number one.
That's not true.
And number two, it's stupid.
That is not real.
To lie directly. And our media is stupid to not follow up with it.
Nobody asked. They're like, oh, Democrat. She said it. Must
it's
be
the
true.
Worst. Stupidity all
Must
around.
Must be facts. That does it for us today, folks. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe, as well as Substack. Chapter and Verse. Sign up. Have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow.